book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. We're going to pick it up in verses 10 through 31. So Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through verse 31. And we've entitled the message, God's Kind of Mother. And again, happy Mother's Day. Again, I appreciate you ladies so much. I mean, you think about the task you have raising disciples for Jesus. It's an awesome responsibility. And what we're going to do is kind of the breakdown here. We're going to read this passage. I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to have the mothers remain standing this morning because I want to pray with you. And I'm so thankful you're here. And I know that your goal, if you were allowed to come to church today, you would be filling up that row with your family. And I know that that's what mothers do. So again, I pray that you are so blessed and encouraged today through this portion of Scripture. So Romans chapter 31, verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. And she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. And how ironic that it seems like all year long we downplay the role of a wife and a mother. And even sometimes if a woman's talking to another woman and says, "What do you do?" And you say, "Well, I'm a homekeeper. I raise my children." And they think, "Why can't you get a real job?" And that's kind of the thought. But Lord, you elevate this position of mother/wife. And you love the mother that's committed to God, her husband, and her children, because that's her priority. So I pray for those mothers today that have that same priority, that you would bless them. Some that are discouraged today, that they would be encouraged. Maybe one of their children or their husband or someone would say something, and it would be literally a word from the Lord to them. A word of encouragement to them that what they're doing is the right thing. They're seeing rewards for their effort, for their labors. So bless those discouraged moms today. Bless those mothers today that are heartbroken over the loss of a child that's gone before them. Bless those mothers this day that are maybe in the transition of a divorce, or they've come through a divorce recently, Lord. What a difficult day this can be. So we pray that you would encourage them. Let us as husbands and fathers cooperate with God's plan. As children, let us cooperate with God's plan. Lord, we lift up this nation of ours. Thank you for our president, vice president. Continue to guide them. Pray that Congress and Senate would get on board with the priority of protecting our nation. That's their task. That's their calling, is to protect the nation. That's it. And I pray that they would forget about the party they're in and just say, "I've been placed in this position to protect America." So I pray that they would do so. Lord, we pray for those that are attempting to learn about this COVID-19, that they would do so, and that you would just grant wisdom to those that are scientists and those that are doctors and all that they're doing. We pray for those, again, that are discouraged today, that they would be encouraged in the Lord. We pray for those first responders, those in the medical field, those that are in fire and police. Thank you for those in the armed forces. Thank you for those from this church, Lord, that are representing you, Lord. They're working their jobs. They're being faithful to God, that you would bless them, Lord. Provide for your people, Lord, during this difficult time. So we pray now that you would speak to us through your word. Let us have an encounter with the living God on this Mother's Day. And we ask all of this in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. If I can have the mothers remain standing, because I want to pray for you today. And again, you know, you're standing in your home. You know what? I so appreciate you. And I thank you for the calling that God has placed upon your life. Being a godly wife, being a godly mother, raising up disciples for Jesus. Oh, it can be a thankless job. It can be difficult, no doubt about it. But oh, what a responsibility. And you know what? God doesn't often give us our paychecks here on earth, does he? I mean, we get some little tips along the way, but I can assure you, your payday is coming. You stand before the Lord, and you've been a faithful wife and a faithful mother, and you've discipled and you've loved your family. God is going to bless you. You're going to be so blessed. So you may be discouraged today, but I hope that you'll be encouraged this morning through the word. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for these mothers. Some of these mothers love mothering so much, they're doing it all over again with their grandchildren. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know where they get the strength from. But we thank you for these mothers, Lord. We pray that you would bless their marriages, Lord. Bless their families, their grandchildren. Bless them on this Mother's Day. Let them be so encouraged today. I pray that they'll look back on this Mother's Day, though they couldn't be at church, that somehow God spoke to them. Somehow God communicated to them, and they were so encouraged. They were so touched by what a member of the family or somebody said something or something came out of the word, and they say, wow, that's God talking to me. Let them have one of those days, Lord, where they hear from heaven. Let them be blessed this day. If any of them have broken bodies today and they're not feeling good, heal those bodies, Lord. Touch them on this day. Let them have just a great day of rejoicing in you. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' matchless name we pray, amen. Thank you, ladies. I really appreciate you, and I thank you for joining us this morning. You know, often, almost every year I do this, I report to you from salary.com. Now, salary.com every year does an evaluation on what mother is worth. Now, let me kind of qualify this. It's validated by the mom job of both working at stay-at-home moms. It was calculated from 6,000 mom qualified hours by job description in order to compute the yearly average. Based on data, salary.com determined that the average stay-at-home mom juggles a 94-hour-a-week job. So you stay-home moms, approximately 94 hours a week you are working or serving in the home. Those moms that also have a job, if you have a job, the extra work that you put into the home is approximately 58 hours on top of your job. So you work a 40-hour week, and then you add another 58 hours to that, is basically what you're doing. Now, you take into account overtime, using salaries data that's provided by the employees, and so forth. Mom, you're going to be excited this year. You got a raise, Mom, and you're going to be excited about this. Matter of fact, you go to salary.com and you can print Mom out a check. Maybe we should do that. Print Mom out a check. It'd probably be equal to some of the funny money the government's printing out too, but you can print a check right out and give it to Mom. So a full-time stay-at-home mom is worth $178,201 a year. Now, if you're a working mom, your medium salary on top of your regular salary would be $70,102. On the high end, you would get $101,921 salary for being a working mom. Now, at this point, I do this every year. You know, it's sad this year. You know, Baker's isn't giving out a Mama Baker deal. You know that? I always kid around with my wife, and I say, you know, I think you're worth it. I may even power size it for 50 cents. I may do that. But, you know, this year they're not doing it. I went on their website this morning. I went on the app. And what they're doing is triple points. What they used to do was on Mother's Day, you buy one Mama Baker meal, you get a second Mama free. And on Father's Day, you can guess, you get a Papa Baker deal and you get one free. Well, this year, triple points. Wow, what a deal, you know. So I told my wife, you're not getting it this year. That's it. So we got to pinch pennies or do something here. You're not getting your Mama Baker meal this day. Now, one person responding to this study by salary.com said the following: better appreciate your stay-at-home mom because you probably couldn't afford to hire her. And boy, isn't that the truth. Now, I realize that on Mother's Day, it can be a joyful day, but at the same time, it can also be a difficult day. Now, I want to acknowledge that this morning. There are some difficulties with Mother's Day. First of all, there are mothers that are hurting because there's been a death of one of your children. And that is so hard to understand, a mother's love. It is just amazing. I mean, they just are incredible, their love. So it could be a rough Mother's Day. So our hearts go out to you today on this Mother's Day as others are celebrating. And maybe you got an open grave that happened this year or last year. And it can be a difficult day. Along with that, mothers could be hurting today because of a divorce. Now there's two moms. You know what I'm talking about. What's her face? Now, what's her face is now in the picture. And so it's like, I was the mother. What is she doing? I don't even like her. You know, what is she part of the picture now? So now it's made it more difficult with another mom now that's come into the picture. Then along with that, there's some moms that are hurting today because they realize that they didn't really raise their children in the Lord. They're kind of late bloomers. They came to the Lord later on in life, and their children were already up in age, and they came to the Lord. But let me just tell you, it's never too late. You know, you could say to your children, will you forgive me for not raising you in the Lord? It is something that constantly is on my mind, and I know God won't hold me accountable for that because I didn't know him, but still it hurts that I didn't bring you up in the ways of the Lord. You know, you say that to your kids, that means so much. Because very few people will ever ask for forgiveness. They'll apologize, but they won't ask for forgiveness. And then maybe children are hurting today because mom is gone to be with the Lord. So what's all this about Mother's Day when you don't even have a mother? Or you don't even know who your mother is. So it can be one of those difficult, difficult days. And then, of course, there's the category of those that want to be mothers more than anything in the world, but so far God is not letting that happen. So it can be a hard day. It really can be in a lot of different ways. But my hope is that this passage today is for all of us. Of course, we're going to be talking about mom, but at the same time, it talks about our responsibility to help mom, to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Now, Proverbs 31 is often called the virtuous woman. I know some women, when you mention you're going to read Proverbs 31, they go, oh, no. And the veins on their neck start sticking out. They go, oh, no, not that one. That's that one that they always use against us. My husband says, why aren't you the Proverbs 31 wife, you know? And they use that against us. But let me kind of qualify a few things regarding this Proverbs 31 woman. First of all, the description of the wife slash mother is of her character, not her appearance. Do you know that in Proverbs 31, there's nothing in there at all about what she looks like, her appearance? That's important. Notice also, it was written to build up and to show a woman her God-given potential. I think it's there to say, look what God can do. Look what God can do with you if you're open to him. If you love the Lord, you love your husband, you love your kids. Look what the Lord can do. But not only this description may not be of a specific person, but a description of simply God's woman. It's literally a description of what you could be, what God could do is what it is. It may not be a real live living person per se that Solomon is writing about. But there's something also about this. This is Proverbs, which is a book of practical wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 starts with wisdom, and then it ends with a woman modeling wisdom. Boy, isn't that amazing of the Lord to use a woman as a model of wisdom? Boy, that is elevating womanhood for sure. You see, women's true beauty is found in the Lord. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, what is the context of Proverbs 31? Well, look at verse 1, and it gives us the context of it. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. Now, of course, the million-dollar question at this point is, who is King Lemuel? Well, he's also referred to as King Massa. And many believe that it is Solomon. This is Solomon, and this is instructions that Solomon received through his mother. Now, I don't think it really matters if King Lemuel is Solomon or not. The point is that these instructions came from a mother to her son. He says in verse 2, "What, O my son? What, O son of my womb? What, O son of my vows?" She's basically saying, listen up, sonny boy. You better listen to what I have to tell you. You better take heed to the instructions that I want to give to you. So in verses 1 through 9, there are two evils that his mother warns him about. Two evils. The first one is in verse 3. It's against women. He says, do not give your strength to women or give or your ways to that which destroys king. Now, if this was Solomon, he didn't listen to his mother. Because Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So what that means is that he basically had 1,000 wives. Now, when you get to the book of Ecclesiastes, he wanted to commit suicide. Maybe it's because he had 1,000 wives. I do not know. But the point is that he didn't listen to his mother, and he multiplied women, and it absolutely destroyed him. It drew him away from the Lord. Drew him away to worship false gods. Then notice the second thing that she warns him about in verses 4 through 9. It's against alcohol. Verse 4 says, it is not for you, O kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. Well, we're still not listening. You know, it's estimated that in America, there's over 20 million American drunks. They call it alcoholism. The Bible calls it drunkenness or drunkards. So the estimation is 20 million American drunks. Those that are underage drinkers are estimated at 10.8 million. 10.8 million juveniles that are drinkers. I heard the other day regarding this COVID-19 that the consumption of alcohol, the purchase of alcohol, is up 80%. Well, we're not listening to mom, are we? Multiplying the wives, multiplying the alcohol, and we're not listening. So here in verses 10 through 31, we have a mother's guide for choosing a wife and mother by his mother. Now, I don't know if you ladies like that or not. Would you like your mother-in-law writing out your job description? Would you like your mother-in-law writing out your qualifications? Yeah, what's her face? Would you like what's her face writing out your qualifications and really what your job description is? But really, when you think about it, who should know the son better than the mom? She's the one that's raised him. And if she loves the Lord, she's observed him and knows the bent, knows the way that he is. Plus, we also keep in mind this. This is something strange. Marriages were prearranged marriages. I know this is, we don't do that here in the U.S., but they're prearranged marriages. So here's the thought of our passage. Let's take verses 10 through 31 and let's boil it down to a manageable thought. And here's the thought. Genuine beauty is not found in outward appearance, but inward through a life that is given to God. And that's basically what Proverbs 31 says. It's not the outward, it's the inward. It's that which is produced through a relationship with God. That's what makes you beautiful. That's what makes you irresistible. That makes you the virtuous woman, is because of your relationship internally with the Lord. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at verses 10 through 31, and I want to give 10 guidelines to becoming God's kind of mother. Now, I realize that you could never exhaust Proverbs 31. I mean, I could this morning get up and say, here's 30 principles to becoming, you know, God's kind of mother. But because I'm the teacher, I get to come up with 10, and that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to look at 10. And I know there's more, and as we're looking at it, I was looking, you know, every time I teach this, I look and I go, oh, I could do that one too. I could do this one too. And I see stuff, but I just want to kind of simplify. 10's even a lot, but 10 various guidelines to becoming God's kind of mother. The first one is in verses 10 through 12. Number one, God's mother is upright in character. God's mother is upright in character. Now, again, quick little note. If you got the Calvary Chapel Rialto app and you go to Sunday right now, you click on Sunday, the notes are right there. They're already there. We're going to put 5 pages of notes on your screen this morning. But those 5 pages can be downloaded from the website, or you can look at the app, and the app has them right there. I know my son-in-law is all into this. He has the big iPad, and he has the notes on there. He has his notes. He has the texts. I mean, it's amazing how he's got this thing dialed in, but a lot of us aren't techie like that. So I like my wife prints them out, 3-ring binder, and so forth. I think that's a great way to go. So God's mother is upright in character. It says in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. The word excellent could be translated virtuous. And some of our translations call her virtuous. It means noble or of a capable character. Probably in the Old Testament, a good example of a virtuous woman was Ruth. In the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 11, Boaz says these words regarding Ruth. It's quite a compliment. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people, notice, all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. Everybody in town knows you're a virtuous woman. Everybody in town knows that you have a capable character. Everybody knows. Now, notice what it says regarding this excellence. Is it says, an excellent wife is rare. An excellent wife who can find. So they're difficult to find. Because you can only find them through Christ. It can only happen through Christ. You can't find it in the world. And you can, some of the most moral and nicest people are not virtuous. They're not in character with the Lord. There's an historian by the name of Joan Jacobs Broomberg. And she wrote a book a number of years ago entitled The Body Project. And she went on and historically laid out the case that over the years, we are becoming such empty people. The things that we pursue are so temporal. She looks back and says, in the past, it used to be focusing upon character, but now it's just some temporal thing. So she goes on and she says, in the past, it used to be improving one's character through good works, but she says today it's improving one's body through grueling workouts. It used to be character through selfless acts of charity, but today it's replaced by a vain pursuit of a sculptured body. You see how empty and how vain that pursuit is? We used to be concerned about the character. Now we're more concerned about the classroom. Does the classroom have, you know, Cat 5? Does the classroom have video? Does the classroom have... We don't care about if it's producing character. We just care about the classroom. So we're focusing upon the externals and neglecting the internal, which is why we're in such a mess today. Notice not only is she rare, but an excellent wife is precious. She's precious. For her worth is far above jewels. There's not enough money in the world by which you can attain it or purchase it. It's precious. Of course, we got shows, got these reality shows. How do you put reality into an hour? I don't know. But yeah, these reality, some of these shows like Bridezillas and you know, Wedding Crashers and all that. And you see these couples that just spend these exorbitant amount of money to have the perfect 20-minute ceremony. They spend thousands and thousands of dollars to have the best reception. They spend thousands and thousands of dollars for the best venue. When you watch these shows, they never say anything about marriage preparation, premarital counseling, none of that stuff. Because they're thinking somehow they can buy it. Even though there's problems, and many of the shows reveal there's lots and lots of problems, somehow they think that once you slip the ring on, the problems dissipate or disappear. They don't. But this is the shallow, shallow society. You can't buy it. There's not enough money in the world to buy this virtuous woman. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. You know, marriage is based upon trust. If you don't have trust in a marriage, you don't have a marriage. I mean, you think of any relationship you have right now, and you think about the depth of those relationships, isn't the reason they're deep is because of trust? So a marriage in which a husband trusts in his wife, that's a deep marriage. That's a profound marriage, because that's the building blocks. That's the basis of what a marriage is. You see, she earned her husband's trust by working with him instead of against him. Husbands and wives are not in competition. Now, that's one of the things, and here's another plug, a shameless plug for enjoying marriage. I don't know, probably I love enjoying marriage. You know, one of the things we're going to learn in enjoying marriage is that the differences that we have, the opposites that we have in marriage, that God gave us those opposites to compensate for inadequacies is what it is. We're lacking in areas, so God gives us a spouse that has that quality to compensate for our weaknesses. Now, what we do is we take those as, wow, why aren't you more like me? Or why aren't you like this or like this? And we get at each other when in reality we're on the same team. God put it together that way, and we'll be learning that and enjoying marriage. You'll come to find out, really, if you sat down and really wrote down all the, you know, the things in common, you'll come to find out that majority are opposites. They're actually opposites is what we have. So 1 Peter 3:7 says, "You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." And I think one of the most interesting Old Testament accounts of a bad marriage is that of Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis 27. You want to read a kind of a funny chapter? Read Genesis 27. You know, they're always spying on each other. They're just like, they don't trust each other. You know, they have personal favoritisms. I mean, they do everything the wrong way. And it's like marriage done the wrong way. Genesis 27. So you got Rebekah eavesdropping on Isaac, telling her son to deceive her dad, her husband. It's just craziness that goes on. A lot of marriages like this. It's just, it's sad. Proverbs 31:12 says, "She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." Boy, I just thank God for my wife. You know, these last few months, is, you know, she hasn't been feeling that great, but I tell you, it never changes that she's always, even as sick as she is, trying to wait on me. It's like I'm sitting down. Can I get you something to drink? You know, can I? Do you want a refill on that? Do you want this? Do you want that? But that's classic, classic woman. That motherhood. That's what it is. And that's the way they are. That's the way a woman is. That's the way a virtuous woman is. Is always thinking of others. Always wanting to make things go better. Always trying to relieve any extra work that could be done so that you can do what you need to do. And that's classic, classic motherhood is womanhood. Is literally what it is. Verse 23 says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." Verse 31, "Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." Now, I recognize this morning on this Mother's Day that some of you mothers / wives are married to non-believers. You need to serve them. You are a missionary to them. You can make them thirsty for Jesus is what you can do. And for some of us, really, we're missionaries to our children. Our children don't know the Lord yet. We haven't seen evidence of that. So we just need to be faithful. We need to see that serving our husbands, serving our children is serving the Lord. That's what it is. And you will receive that reward. God will, I promise, will absolutely give you your paycheck, I can assure you. It'll be beyond what you can even imagine. God will do that. It brings us to the second principle in verses 13 to 22 and also verse 24. God's mother is an energetic worker. She's energetic worker. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Now notice some of the words that are used here to describe how energetic she is. The word works is used in verses 13, verse 31. Her hands are mentioned in verse 13, 19, and verse 20. Her arms are mentioned in verse 17. Her household is mentioned in verse 15, verse 21, and verse 27. Look at verse 13. She looks for wool and flax. Now, ladies, you're going to be so happy. You ready for this? Here's your verse for shopping. Check it out. This is that verse that you've always longed for. Here's your, if your husband says, what do you got to go to the store for? What do you got? I'm just obeying the Bible. The Bible says that she shops. I mean, that's what I do. And you know, that's a great verse, isn't it? Because I don't understand this about my wife. I mean, I don't know if I speak for all guys. Maybe I do. You determine that. But if I'm going to buy something, I'm going to buy it because I know it works and it's what I need. My wife will buy stuff and just take it back. I can't get into that whole thing because that means I have to go back in the store. So I don't really want to do that. So sometimes we have this one little area in our living room. We have this hutch where we'll put bags that go to certain stores. There'd be like six bags. And you know what that means to me? Six stores. And I'm like going, I hate going to six stores. I don't like going to six. There's a cloth world. I don't like these stores. You know, it's like, I'm going to go to these stores. But, you know, curtains in one, you know. You don't look over and see a tape measure and vice grips and chisels. You don't see any of that stuff. Because if I bought those, they're in the toolbox. And I've tucked them in and put them to bed. That's where they're at. But this idea of having to return stuff is just insanity. But it's part of them. They're looking for the deal. They're out shopping. They're looking for what's really needed within the home itself. And it says that she works with her hands in delight. She loves a challenge. Some of our wives and mothers live for challenges. Something that is so, that's just a challenge. It's not impossible. It's just called the challenge is what it's called. There was a father who was showing his little girl a picture of their wedding with the mom. And showing her, you know, this is our wedding day, and here's mom in her dress, here's dad in his tuxedo. And the little girl looked at the picture. She says, Daddy, is that the day that you got mommy to come and work for us? That's exactly it. That was the day. That was the day when she said, I do. She committed herself to the husband, and later on, if God so blesses, through procreation. And she committed herself to doing those challenges, to taking care of the home. Verse 14 of Proverbs 31 says, she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from Sam's and Costco. Check it out. It's right there. You know what it's like when things get a little bare? We grew up, my brother will remember this, that there were some times where we're putting mustard on soda crackers. Oh my gosh. I mean, those were hard times. But then what happens? In comes the cargo ship, the Toyota Highlander with mom as the captain, coming from Costco. And then she pulls into the driveway with a cargo of Captain Crunch and barbecue potato chips and chimichangas and ice cream sandwiches and Doritos. The whole thing comes in. And then all the little children go out and help mom unload the cargo out of the cargo van. You know, that's what mom does. Mom is always thinking of the needs of the home, what the family likes, what this person likes, what we need to have in the home. Let's do a change. Let's do this. And that's what mom does. Look at verse 15. She rises also while it is still night, and she gives food to her household and portions to her maids. Oh, she cooks. Oh, does she cook? I had a mother tell me one time that. She says, you know what my goal is? And I thought there's a little low of a bar. She goes, you know what my goal is? My goal is to prepare three meals and not get one complaint. Now think about that for a moment. I thought, wow, that's sad. Can you imagine today if we make a commitment as dads, as fathers, you know, as husbands and children, that we're going to compliment mom for her cooking. We're going to thank her for it. We're going to make a compliment for it. You know, maybe charcoal doesn't taste that bad. You know, I don't know. But the point is that we can compliment her. Can you imagine if every time mom cooked a meal, we thanked her and we said something kind to her? Think of how far that could go. But that's one of the things that we could do, because she does. It's a thankless job of meal after meal after meal. Verse 16 says she considered, or it says there's her maids. Notice her maids here in verse 15. Now that tells us that she had outside help, which I find interesting. I mean, you look at a mom that's working, you know, in the home full time, 94 hours, something like that, 50 some hours if she's a working mom. And this mom here that was full-time had outside help. Now, think about if you have a job outside the house, how in the world can you get it done? That's where the husband steps in, the kids step in, and if needs be, you may even have to bring some outside help in sometimes to help clean or whatever needs to be done. It's not wrong to have outside help come in. This mother did. This wife did. She invited them in to do so. Now, again, verse 16 says she considers a field and she buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Now, some people say, well, can a wife mother work outside the home? Well, this one did. This one actually was into real estate. Not only did she buy and sell in real estate, she actually did some agriculture, or some ag work by planting a field. So now sometimes, you know, as situations will happen, you both have to work. But if it's possible for the mother and wife to stay home, surely that is the best, if it's possible. Sometimes sacrifices can be made, and that can happen, which I think is a wonderful thing if that can happen. But in those cases where you're a single mom, single dad, and you've got to work, that's just the way it is, you still keep God as the priority. Keep God and the children as a priority. You have to do that. Proverbs 31:17. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. And she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Notice that it says her lamp does not go out at night. You know why? Because she recognizes, I have to replenish the oil. If I don't plan ahead, if I don't notice that the oil is almost gone, it's going to be dark in the house. So this is a mom that plans. This is a mom that looks at the needs of the family. You know, some of us remember just a while ago, toilet paper was like, you know, you could get, people were fist fighting over toilet paper, which I still don't fully understand. I had a friend of mine, he's a doctor in India, and he wrote to me, he says, why are Americans fighting over toilet paper? And I said, because they're stupid. That's why they're doing it. They're just stupid. It's insane. This virus has nothing to do with toilet paper. It's not even one of the symptoms of it. I said, they're crazy. But you know what? Thank God, my wife went to Costco, and she buys that, you know, that big pack that's the size of the whole shopping cart. She gets one of those. So here's people fist fighting over toilet paper, and we just reach in the closet and pull one out. So that's what we did. So I thank God for that, because she was looking out for the needs of the home. She's preparing for it so that we aren't in dire need, because she's always like, hey, the oil's running low, so let's just buy some oil, and that's what we'll do. Again, and sometimes we complain when mom buys certain things. Oh, why are we buying this? We don't need this now. And then a month later, you're going, boy, I sure am happy you bought this. That was a great idea buying it. Jean Fleming in her book, A Mother's Heart. She writes in her book, it's a mother's book, and she writes about a time that she was a missionary, and she had an infant and a 2 and a 3-year-old. She went on to say that brushing my teeth was considered recreation, brushing my teeth. And she said shaving both legs was considered a real luxury. And some of you ladies know what that's like. You've had young little ankle biters, you know. You have like a little 2-year-old, 3-year-old, maybe a 4-year-old, and you're going, oh my gosh, I don't know what it's like to have all three go to bed at one time, you know, and it's so difficult and challenging. And she was reflecting upon that. And again, but that's motherhood. That's Motherhood is womanhood. That's literally what it is. And mothers are able to make all of that work. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. So she also is into manufacturing. She's into real estate, agriculture, and here, manufacturing. Number three is verse 20, God's mother has a heart of compassion. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Notice it describes the compassion that she shows. She's always observing the needs of others. This classic mother, classic wife. Oh, so-and-so just had this happen. I better bring a meal over to him. They could certainly, oh, so-and-so went through this. I wonder if I should watch their kids for a few hours to give them a break. That's classic wife mother. Very, very classic. That's what they do. See someone, oh, so-and-so's out of work. I wonder if they're in need of anything. Can we help them out? That's classic, classic virtuous wife mother. That's classic. Proverbs 14:21, he who despises his neighbor's sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Proverbs 19:17, he who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deeds. Proverbs 31:21-22, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. Scarlet, scripture speaks of redemption. She's prayed up. She's taught them well. They're prayed up. They're under the blood. She makes coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen. Linen speaks of purity and purple, royalty. Well, you talk about a virtuous woman, redemption, purity, and royalty. See, that's the godly woman. That's the woman after God's heart. That's the woman that loves God and puts God first. The word clothed means to be fully clothed or doubly clothed. It often is a description of one's character. That's why in Ephesians, Paul says, put off the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes. So the clothes are symbolic of the character, of the lifestyle of a person. And there's a woman who's clothed in purity, in redemption, and royalty. Brings us to number four in verse 23. God's mother is a blessing to her husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, the gates was the place of transactions. It was city hall. Because when a person came into the city, they'd have to go through the gates. If they left the city, they'd have to go through the gates. So it became the central meeting spot in which transactions took place. There would be judges and elders at the gates that would work out differences between people. And so, again, we see this in Ruth 4, where he describes this transaction of purchasing Ruth as a kinsman redeemer in chapter 4 of Ruth as at the city gates. So this loyal wife didn't want to take her husband's place, but she wants to do her own work and make it easier for the husband to do his. There's no competition of wanting to be a political leader or to be a leader in some sense. It's not that at all. Let me help with your job so you can do your job. Let me take this responsibility away from you so you can flourish in doing this. That's classic godly mother and wife. Classic. What can I do to help relieve you of some pressure? What can I do to make life simpler? That's classic, classic virtuous woman. Wise is the husband who recognizes his wife's strengths and lets her compensate for his weaknesses. How important that is, and we mentioned this in Enjoying Marriage, we'll be looking at those differences and we'll be talking about those things, how important those things are. I mentioned that years ago we had a couple in this church who were having all sorts of problems. The husband couldn't add 2 + 2 when he was married to a CPA. He would not let her balance the checking accounts. He didn't know that if you wrote a check, you had to have money to back it. He never knew that. But the CPA knew that, which was his wife. But he wouldn't utilize his wife. That's insanity. I would have turned the church over to her. I mean, she's a CPA. I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, here is someone here that there's a money crunchers. They live and breathe numbers. And you got someone that can't add 2 + 2. So we recognize our weakness. We recognize their strengths. And we say, wow, thank you, Lord, for providing this virtuous woman that can help me. Look at verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Well, you got to realize this is BC before COVID. Now she'd be put out of business and she wouldn't be allowed to work. So we know that. But keep in mind that mom will go back to work pretty soon. And so this is closed, but her manufacturing business closed, but it will reopen. So here she is again into manufacturing. She's a businesswoman. She's got smarts. Nothing wrong with that. She's capable of doing it. Number 5, verse 25, God's mother smiles at the future. Verse 25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Now, again, clothing, as we just mentioned, means that of the part of one's life. It reveals the character. And we talk about grave clothes, grace clothes. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Colossians 3, verses 8 through 14. Now, a wife and a virtuous woman can smile at the future. Why? Because she knows her life is in the Lord's hands. She doesn't freak out over the future. She isn't consumed by worry regarding the economy and everything else because she realized, you know what? My life belongs to the Lord. It's really God's problem. So I'm going to sleep at night and let God worry about it. It's because my life is in His hands. But notice, strength and dignity are her clothing. You ever notice how styles are constantly changing? The hemlines above the knees, below the knees, so constantly, all these styles that are constantly changing, you know. I remember one night I fell asleep and I woke up and they were saying the leisure suit was coming back in. I had nightmares the rest of the night. It's like, I can't imagine leisure, powder blue leisure suits. Remember those? Guys wearing white belts and white leather shoes. Oh, God, that was like a nightmare, you know. But the styles change, and people say, well, just hold on to it, it'll come back in style. And that's true. That is actually true. You may have to wait quite a few years, but those styles do come and go. And why is this? Because people become dissatisfied. It doesn't satisfy them. It's okay for a while, but now it's time for a change. But here's a woman who's clothed with strength and dignity, which never go out of style, that is not, it's always trendy because it's always up to style, it always is. 1 Peter 3:3 says, and let not your adornment be merely external. He says, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And this is why the world is constantly going from fad to fad. Trendy changes all the time because everything gets so boring. But a woman of strength and dignity never goes out of style. She's always trending. She's always there. And what's amazing about it is it's accessible to anyone. Any woman that's open to the Lord, wants to love God, they can have it. Notice it says, and she smiles at the future. Literally, to sport, to play, to make sport of, to jest of. She laughs at the future. You know why? Because she's in the Lord. She doesn't freak out. She's in the Lord. She recognizes that being in the Lord, it doesn't matter. Let them say what they want to say. Let them do their gloom. Here we are. We're going through this COVID thing. And what are they talking about? This hornet that came from what? Japan or something? That's the new thing to freak out over, some little hornet. And I was listening to this whole thing about the hornet. The last sighting was like a year ago. So we haven't seen one in a year. They say they're eradicated, and now the news story is, watch out, the hornets are going to get you. See, this is the society that we're in. They're just controlled and fed by fear. But what does the virtuous woman do? She laughs, goes, ha. That's hilarious, you know. She just laughs at the hornets, you know, just laughs at it. And this is goofy because her trust is in the Lord. Number six, verse 26, God's mother is filled with wisdom. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Now, it describes the counsel she gives. She opens her mouth in wisdom, which is prudence, which is ethical, which is religious. It's basically the application of truth. It's how to apply truth to daily situations. That's when mom opens her mouth, that's what she does. Mom is the original Ann Landers, but a spiritual Ann Landers is what she is. She basically has, ask Abby, she has an answer to everything. Because mom's in the Word. Mom loves God. God has taught mom. And the teaching or instruction or direction of kindness is on her tongue. Oh, mom realizes that she does a lot of thankless jobs, but she's doing it for the Lord. That's mom's thinking. And you know what? She's constantly drawing from the Lord, the well of the Lord, and God is constantly refilling her bucket. And again, she always has something to give to others. It was Beecher who said, the mother's heart is the child's classroom or schoolroom. William Stuart Ross, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. You see, this wife and mother has something to give instead of take. She has been drawing from the well of the Spirit of God. And that's why she has something to say. She's in the Word. She's in a relationship with God. She puts into application what God shows her. So she does all of that, and what happens? She has something to say. She has something to give. She's this well that is never dry because of her relationship with God. This brings us to number seven in verse 27. God's mother is a good overseer. God's mother is a good overseer. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she's constantly managing the household. She is ever looking, ever thinking, always looking for something to do, always looking at what needs to be done. Again, a mother looks at her job and she can go great lengths without ever getting a thank you because they just know that that's just the way it is, you know. Some of us guys, you know, we do something for our wives, we want to get out the trumpet, dun, 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 you know, hey, I put away a dish. Oh, congratulations, you know. But she put away 50 that day, you know. But moms are used to that. Moms oversee all of that. It's no big deal. It's thankless. They know they'll do it, and it just needs to be done. They want to make sure the house is running well, that everything's there, everything's available. Psalms 127:3 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And I believe motherhood is the essence of womanhood. I don't think you can separate them. I really don't. Now, there are some women that will never be mothers, but I don't think you can take the mother out of them. And you know what's even funny? Even those today that are of the women's lib movement and all that, and they find it so repulsive to make a statement that motherhood is the essence of womanhood, and they would resist that. You know, when you watch these folks long enough, you'll see they're mothering something. If they work in an office, they're mothering their coworkers. Oh, you should put a little more cream. Oh, would you like me to get there? Let me dab your mouth. You know, they're like always mothering, put a bib on their boss or something. You know, just like always mothering. They're always doing that. It's part of it. And then if it isn't that, they're maybe mothering a dog. You know, that's the new thing. You know, they're talking baby talk to their dog, you know, putting clothes on their dog, dressing their dog up. It's just this deep inside need to mother, to nurture. Be the good word, nurturing. It's just part of what a woman is. It is what a womanhood is. It's motherhood is what it is. And it says, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Again, any man or any husband that thinks his wife's got it easy, oh my gosh, do her job for one day. It will convince you. It will. I have a doctor, and I love this doctor so much, and he His wife's an attorney, and so he had to be with the kids for a few weeks. You know what he told me? He goes, I hope I don't sound like a bad day. I was longing to be a doctor. I was just like, I want to go back and be a doctor. I can't do this kid thing. I can't do this house thing. He goes, I was just begging my wife, please, you know, come back. Let me be a doctor. I want to go back and do that. He goes, I hope that doesn't sound bad. I said, no, I understand it. It's just not what you're meant to do. And for a woman, it's just nothing. It's just they'll do it. And so we need to be appreciative of that. We need to acknowledge that. You know, these a virtuous woman doesn't sit around watching as Jerusalem turns, you know, popping bonbons. They don't do that. You know, they are constantly serving and thinking and overseeing and making everything work, juggling the schedules, you know. That's what they do. Number 8, verses 28, 29, God's mother is worthy of praise. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, you know, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Now, it's one thing for a wife slash mother to spout off their accomplishments, and I'm sure there are many mothers and wives that can do that. But boy, it says a whole lot when it comes from the children and the husband. That says a whole lot if the children take the time to say, you know, I got the best mom on the planet. You know, I got the best wife on the planet. I mean, that says so much other than the wife and the mother herself just doing that. Now, the way this is written, there's a suggestion that this praise was expressed regularly and spontaneously, not just at special occasions. I know we'll do it today, which we should, but let's try it again on Monday. Let's try it again on Tuesday. Let's try it again on Wednesday. Let's not get too much in this. Maybe we can skip a day and do it Friday, but no, we can do it every day. But the point is that let's think about that. Let's think about praising mom. Let's think about being thankful for her. Let's thank her for those tasks that are so thankless. Let's make it a thank you. Let's think of ways to encourage her. Kind of one of the buzzwords that we use in our society is the word fulfillment, and that's, you know, like using this term a lot because I think it's so misused, because in many cases, fulfillment is subjective versus objective. I feel, it drives me crazy, I feel, you know, like this. When in reality, if we are loving God, it will be a reality. If we're loving God and loving our husband and loving our children, it'll be more than a feeling. And that's a song. It's more than a feeling. It really is. It is objective. It is a fact. It is a truth. To feel fulfilled, you will be. It'll be a reality. Number 9, verse 30. God's mother is praised for fearing God. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The word charm means favor, it means grace, it means elegance, it means acceptance. Notice it says that charm is deceitful, it's fraud, it's fraudulent. You see, it's possible to be a wicked person, but a charming person. I remember telling a story one time, and I have to try to find it. It's a story about a man that was a bank robber, that was an absolute thief, but he taught Sunday school. He was loved in the community. And then when he was finally caught, he goes, is this what I get? It was like craziness. So, you know, we could be charming and be a bad person. We could be charming and be an evil person. Because charm, just basically the way that you take care of yourself, it can be a wonderful thing, but it's phony. It isn't necessarily real. Niceness doesn't get it because it's simply your personality. It doesn't mean your heart's been affected. But notice he says beauty is vain. It's fleeting. It's temporal. You know, it's classic words, you know, of J. Vernon McGee. You know, there's some religions, some groups that say it's wrong for women to wear makeup. He says, is it wrong, Dr. McGee, for women to wear makeup? He goes, if the barn needs painting, paint it. That's what he said. There's nothing wrong with it. But know this, you're going to have to repaint it again, just as long as you know that. It may last a few years, but you got to repaint it again. And it's okay to invest in those things to a point, but know where the real investment is internal. It's inside. That's eternal. The outside will break down, it will perish. We want to invest in that which is eternal. This is why in 1 Peter 3:4 he says, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. That's where your focus wants to be, and that's where it needs to be, on that which is internal. Notice, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, reverential fear, fear of displeasure, displeasing the Lord, she shall be praised. And again, I make note of the fact that we may not be praised here. We may not get our rewards here, but that's okay. We get tips is all we get. Paycheck's coming. Stand before God, it'll come. And you'll be so thankful that you are faithful to God, faithful to your husband, faithful to your children. You will be so, wow, I can't believe what I got. I can't believe what I received from the Lord. This brings us to our last one, number 10 in verse 31. God's mother will be shown honor. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, this is unusual. Now, we may look at this and not see this, but this is unusual. A woman in Israel was, I'm not even aware of any place in Israel where a woman was honored at the gates. Women weren't necessarily honored at the gates. The gates was the center of the city. That would be city hall. And a woman, women weren't elevated like that at all. So for a woman to be honored at the gates really says something. Well, this is an unusual woman who calls for unusual recognition. It really does. There's no one like her. It calls for a recognition in the city. It calls for a recognition in the neighborhood. It calls for a recognition in the family. It just calls for it because of how unusual she is. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother. But notice here, her husband and her children acknowledge her value and they praise her. I'm going to close this morning with five thoughts of application, five things. I'll do these pretty quick because I want to apply this to all of us this morning as we close. Number one, this passage is an encouragement to every Christian woman what she can become if she loves, fears, and honors the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Every woman can attain to this. Number two, this passage describes for every Christian man the kind of wife slash mother for whom he ought to be praying and cooperating with God to help him to produce. If you are complaining that your wife is not a Proverbs 31, are you helping her to be a Proverbs 31? Maybe you're the reason that she's not there. You're complaining all the time. Well, I don't have a wife like this. I don't like it. Because she doesn't have a husband like that either. And that's the reason. So it's because we're trying to stop what God is doing. And that's why we don't get the Proverbs 31 woman. Number three, an unmarried man should walk with the Lord, grow in his spiritual life, so that he will be worthy of such a wife if and when God brings her to him. Every once in a while, I'll hear a woman or a guy say, oh, I want a spiritual wife or I want a spiritual husband, but I think, you're not spiritual. For them to like you, they got to backslide in order to like you. Doesn't that sound strange? But it's true. If you want a woman like this, you need to be a bargain man like this. You got to be in the Word yourself and be a faithful servant of God, serving others in the Word. And to say that I want a godly man when you're not a godly woman, that's insane. I want a godly wife, I'm not a godly man. That's insane. They have to backslide in order to get you. So we got to bring ourselves up. You know, if you're a single person, you need to step up. You're a woman, you're a man, you need to step up. You need to be worthy if God would bring this person. Number four, wife, mother, do you have a relationship with the Lord? It's great that you love your husband. It's great that you love your children. It's great that you love the home. But do you love the Lord? See, in the final analysis, being a good wife, good mother, keeping up your house doesn't mean anything in eternity if it's not for the Lord. And lastly, number five, husband, father, do you have a relationship with the Lord? It's great that you provide. It's great that you're there. It's great that you love your wife. It's great that you love your kids. It's great that you fix up the house and you're Mr. Home Depot. I think that's all wonderful. But do you love the Lord? See, that's the question. Do you love the Lord? So that's where we leave ourselves this morning. You know, I would love right now to say, we're going to have the prayer team come up right now. We're going to pray, but we don't have a prayer team. But I'm going to pray for you this morning. Maybe there's someone in the room with you this morning that they will pray for you too. I'm going to pray. If you still want to get a pastor to pray with you, you want to talk, you want to share, we're here. We're available. We're saying come. You know, I mean, just give us a call. Send us an email. Let's set up an appointment. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's pray. We want to do that for you, but let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this day. I pray that the mothers are so encouraged today. I pray that you would speak to them today, that they'll look back on this Mother's Day of 2020, even though they couldn't worship corporately. They'll never forget that day as the Mother's Day that God spoke to me. The Mother's Day that God spoke from heaven to me. He showed me a little hope. He encouraged me this day. I pray that that happens. I pray for those mothers that don't know Jesus, that they would trust him today. I pray for those fathers that don't know Jesus, they would trust him today. Those children that don't know the Lord, they would trust him today. That each one of us would recognize that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised, signifying that sin's been paid in full. We need to turn from our ways and trust in him. Repent of our sins. A U-turn. So let us do this day. Let us put God first. And we ask all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.